This podcast is brought to you by Tyler Mathis and Jackie Gorski, education students at the University of South Alabama. This podcast is entitled, Can Podcasts Be Useful in the Classroom? The following interview is with Eric Langhorst, creator of the blog Speaking of History. Mr. Langhorst is an 8th grade history teacher in Liberty, Missouri.
The first question you asked was, how are podcasts used in my classroom? And primarily what I use podcasts for are to produce content or create ideas and share lesson plans with other teachers. I do a podcast called Speaking of History, and although some of those could be used in the classroom, and we do use some of that content, most of that is for teachers. And I'll give you an example. When I was in Washington, D.C. a couple years ago, I recorded the Ranger Talk at Ford's Theater. So the introductory talk lasted about 10 minutes or so, talked about the history of the theater and then what happened on the night of the Lincoln assassination. I recorded that and put it out as an episode of my podcast. Now, that is primarily for teachers, but I also use it in my classroom. We talk about Ford's Theater, and other teachers have told me that they use it in the classroom. So there are some examples of bringing content into the classroom, but my Speaking of History podcast is mostly for other teachers. One way that I've used podcasts specifically for students, and one thing that I created to be separate from my regular podcast, is called StudyCast. We have about 10 unit tests throughout the year, and as students get ready to take a unit test, I record something called the StudyCast, which is me talking for about 10 or 15 minutes about things that they'll need to know for the test, kind of jogging their memory a little bit about maybe an anecdote we had in class or some notes. And so those are specifically made for students. I then save that file as an MP3 file, and I put it on our server and put a link on our classroom page. And then I also put it on a blog, which creates an RSS feed. And I have submitted that to iTunes, and it's available on iTunes for free. So students can go to the website and listen to it there, or they can go onto iTunes and subscribe to it and have it delivered right to their MP3 device. But the way that most students listen to that from doing little surveys and stuff is just directly off of the website. It's been very helpful. The second question you asked is kind of, how has this enhanced your education of students? It's given access to content to students in a manner that they feel is most comfortable for them. 100% of my students do not listen to it, and that's fine. And I think that in some ways teachers need to kind of get past that idea that if they create something, 100% of students have to participate to make it worthwhile. A StudyCast takes me about 15 or 20 minutes to record, about 10 minutes to put on the internet. So I've invested about a half an hour of time, and I currently have about 150 students at a time in my 6 different sections of class. And so those 150 students can access it as many times as they want. I have quite a few students that will listen to it multiple times. I've had a lot of parents tell me that their students, especially special needs students, like to listen to it multiple times. And I started this about 5 years ago, and at first it was kind of just a novelty. I didn't really know if it would catch on. And again, I kind of was a little disappointed when every student didn't go home and listen to it. But I would say probably a quarter of my students listen to it on a regular basis before test, and it really helps those students out specifically. Traditionally, probably more of the auditory learner students will benefit from it, but anybody can listen to it, and it has a great return on my half an hour of investment time. Do I make my own podcast? The Speaking of History podcast, I do. I create them using Audacity, which is a free program that will run on PCs or Macintoshes. If you have a Macintosh, you can also use GarageBand. Both of those are relatively easy programs to use. You can mix different levels of audio, or you can just talk, for 15 or 20 minutes at a time. But you do have the ability to blend music in the background, and Audacity is a program that I teach to my students, typically the beginning part of the year, and then they can use that skill if they need it for another project or a project that we're specifically doing in class, and students really enjoy it, and it's pretty easy to learn. They can get up and messing around with it probably in about 15 minutes. So I show them some of the basics and then just kind of let them explore, and they usually take off with that. So that's what I would recommend. I know that there are some other podcasts out there that students create that are kind of similar to my StudyCast. Mr. Cooley in California, he's done a StudyCast with his students, and I'm going to maybe get this wrong. I think his students are 5th grade or 6th grade, and he's been doing that for years, and he has his students create it. I've tried to get my students to create it, but typically they say, well, we don't want to create a podcast or a StudyCast and then have something that would be wrong on there and cause students to not do as well on the test. So if you are going to introduce students creating the podcast, like a StudyCast, I'd recommend that you have the students create one first, because they become a little intimidated if the teacher does it, and then they, you know, then we as teachers want them to turn around and create a StudyCast as well. So that'd be one recommendation that I would make. Question four, you asked about making video casts for the classroom. I don't really do a video podcast that I create. There is some video content that I create, but typically what I do is I put that up on YouTube, and people can subscribe to that just like they do a podcast. So I guess in a pure sense of the form, if you subscribe to a person's YouTube channel, in a way you are subscribing to a video podcast. I do use video podcasts quite a bit in class, though, and the best example of that would be a CNN Student News. CNN Student News is a 10-minute news program created each day by CNN, and it is available on their website at cnn.com/education, and you can play it directly off of the webpage. The only problem is sometimes at a particular time of day there might be a bandwidth issue or the internet might be a little bit slower. So I subscribe to it through iTunes as a video podcast, and when I come in the morning, I just fire up iTunes, and it automatically updates all the podcasts that I subscribe to, including CNN Student News. And so then it's on my computer, and it's sitting where I can get it locally, and I don't have to worry about bandwidth issues, and it's a little bit clearer, and that's how I show my students CNN Student News. So that technically is a video podcast that we subscribe to. And there's quite a few other ways that you can bring video podcasts into the classroom, depending a little bit on your level of students and grades. There's tons of coursework out there available right now through iTunes U. And again, those are kind of like video podcasts that you can then download. So you can get content from MIT. I've audited a class from Stanford, which is about geography and the election. And so this professor has lectured for hours about how geography plays a part in the election process, primarily the presidential election. And although that's not content that I would directly have my students watch, I've learned a lot as a teacher from watching that, and then I can incorporate that back into my classroom. So hopefully that answers question number four. Question number five, recommendations on software or equipment for making podcasts and video casts. Again, I would definitely encourage you to check out Audacity. And part of the reason why we use Audacity is because it is a free program. And once I show it to my students, they can use it here in school in the lab environment, but then they can also go home and use it regardless if they have a Mac or if they have a PC at home. So I like the ability, A, that it's free, obviously, and then B, that it's cross-platform. So I don't have a student going home and saying, oh, I'd love to be able to use that program, but we have a Mac, or oh, we have a PC. So as far as equipment, right now what I'm recording this on is a Sony IC recorder. It's roughly about the size of a little bit larger than a stick of gum, I guess. And it'll record varying amounts of audio, depending a little bit on the compression rate, but typically about 9-10 hours or so. It's very small. It has two microphones that record in stereo, and it's got a headphone jack, it's got a microphone jack, and one of the things that I really like about the Sony IC recorders is that it records directly in MP3 format, which is typically what you're going to want to put on the web or share with people. A lot of the other smaller recorders record in different formats, like WAV or some other files that you're going to have to convert later to get to MP3. So when I record a Steadicast, for example, I can have this on my desk, record it, and then it's got a little jack that'll plug in directly as a USB, and I can plug that in, and it's already in MP3 format. I could put it right on the web if I don't want to edit it or put audio behind it. And quite frankly, for the Steadicast, I don't put audio behind it. I tried that a couple years ago, put some, you know, funky hip-hop music in the background and stuff, and the students came back and said, hey, Mr. Langhorst, you know, just go ahead and record the Steadicast. We don't need, like, all the extra stuff. We're just trying to get the content. So I tried to be a little bit too cool, I guess, in putting in the extra content. So that's what I use when I'm trying to record mobily. What I record if I'm using my laptop or my desktop at home is a Logitech notebook microphone. And the particular one that I use, I can send you a link to, but I like it because it is a over-the-ear microphone with a little, two headphones and like a little microphone that comes out. And the microphone is covered in plastic, so it has a windscreen, so it's going to eliminate some of that extra noise. But unlike a microphone that just has a piece of foam on the outside, this one has a piece of plastic wrapped around it with the foam inside the plastic. And the reason why I like that for a school situation is because we can use it in the lab, and students aren't going to pick at the foam. It's not going to fall off. They're very durable. It comes with a little plastic case, so it's really easy to fold up, and then you can put it in a bag or you can store it up in your lab. And typically they run about, I don't know, $35 to $40. I think they retail for like $50, but you can usually get them on Amazon, or if you just wait a couple weeks at Best Buy and kind of watch the ads, you can usually get it for like $35. And that's what I've used in my classroom quite a bit for the last couple years, and I recommend other people when they ask just because they're so durable. The last question, do you have any recommendations for future teachers on using technology in the classroom? You know, the only thing that I'd really say about that is find something that you have used personally. So no matter what the technology is, if it's Twitter or podcasts or, you know, creating videos or whatever, make sure that you feel comfortable with it as an individual. And once you feel comfortable with it, then find a way to introduce it to your class. And really try and find a creative way to use it, not just use it for technology's sake. And I know sometimes that's difficult, and I do the same thing. But try not to use a technology tool just because it's there. Try and find a way that, oh, this will really get my students to the next level of Bloom's taxonomy, or this is going to get my students to really think about this particular subject in a different way. So just kind of start off with little things, start small, and then gradually as you get more comfortable with it, maybe you'll find additional uses for it. And then once you do find something that works, go ahead and share it with other teachers. You know, we're kind of are on our own as far as professional development. There's not a ton of money being flooded into the schools to have a lot of PD. So if you find something that works, share it with your neighboring teacher, share it with your building, share it with your district. And once teachers see something that works in an environment that they know, so for example, if I'm doing the Steadicast and I say, hey, this really works for my kids, it's easy, I can show you how I do it, then students will, or teachers will start to pick that up. There's a Spanish teacher in our building that when she saw the success we're having with the Steadicast, she created something very similar for her Spanish class. So I would say, you know, get comfortable with it first personally, kind of integrate small, see what works, and then when you do find something that works, try and spread it to your other teachers in your district. So,
visit Eric Langhorst's blog at speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. For further information on this podcast, additional interviews conducted, research material, and relevant links, go to mathisgorski.blogspot.com. That's mathisgorski.blogspot.com. This was brought to you spring semester 2010 for Dr. Strange's EDM 310 class.